Marvin, for the opportunity to be here this morning. I've said it many times in the past, but I feel that it is very important to honor not just Pastor Marvin, but this church body. The 60 people sitting in blue shirts here today would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for the Harbor Church believing in what we do, supporting what we do, and encouraging every single one of us. It's not a John and Julie thing by any stretch of the imagination. Every single one of us has a part in it. And even if you're not wearing a blue shirt this morning, you have a part in it. One thing that I know for certain, I was talking to Cody this morning and I was telling him this, is I know when camp season is coming because 50 weeks out of the year, I am completely and totally healthy. There's nothing wrong with me at all. I'm Superman. And then camp week comes and there's this 2 weeks where my body is tired and I'm frustrated and things don't work out and I get sick and all these other kind of things. And it's the case with, we've had 3 camp counselors that had to back out at the last minute, a couple of them with emergency things in the hospital type stuff, deaths in the family. I mean, it just, last year was the same way. The devil is out to attack what we're doing. And in some ways, people might be like, oh man, that's scary. For us, we're like, dude, that's awesome. Amen. And let me tell you why, is because we realize that if the devil is that active in trying to attack what we're doing, then he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what's going to go down next week. And he doesn't want it to happen. So he's going to do everything in his power to try and make it not happen. But I do want to honor those that are here this morning that are coming to camp this week that have endured sickness, have endured some difficulties in life and different things like that, but have said, you know what, I've made a commitment. I believe in these kids that we're going to serve, and I'm going to be there this week to show these kids the love and the hope of Jesus Christ, because it's an incredible and amazing thing for these kids to see that. Now, it's funny for me because, I work at a lot of different places. This summer, my wife laughs at me because apparently there's something wrong with me. I don't like to take time off and, like, rest. So I work as a school teacher all year, and she's like, that's awesome. So now you have, like, your summers off, and we can go do things and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm thinking about getting a second job during the summertime. So I got a job at Franco's Athletic Club, working there during the summertime. But not just a normal job. It's one of those jobs where I get up at 2:45 a.m. to go open the club. So you get there at like 3:30, because I wanted to spend time with my family, so I wanted to make sure I was off early enough to spend time with them. So anyway, I say all that because, like, I'm always working, I'm always doing this stuff. But I was standing there the other day, and my job is pretty simple at Franco's. Hey, good morning, welcome to Franco's, good to see you. Doot. Okay, have a great day. It's pretty much that, and then folding like 370,000 towels every morning. By the way, if you work out in an athletic club, only take 2 towels. I mean, come on, it's courtesy. I mean, come on, you don't sweat that much. But obviously, like, I'm a person that likes to talk and have communication and relationships with people. So as people come in, I'm having conversations with them. And the question usually always comes up about my family. And so they'll ask me, oh, you married? Yeah, I'm married. You got any kids? I got a couple. and so I'll start talking to them, and then they find out that we've got 6 and number 7 on the way. And so then, of course, it's the obvious, oh my gosh, how do you do that? So I thought it would be kind of interesting to give you kind of a sneak peek into the life of a father of 6 going on 7 children and what it's like on a daily basis inside of my home. And it's not too different than, say, any other father. And, you know, it's just multiplied. That's all it is. It's not that it's any different. It's just exponentially larger in scale when you consider the number of ankle-breaking Legos that are on the floor, when you consider the number of questions that make absolutely no sense that get asked to you while you're trying to sit there on the couch and watch your favorite TV show, when you consider that all you want in life after a difficult day is to go into your pantry and get 2 or 3 Oreos, and you discover that not only the Oreos, but the bag of chips and every other item known to man has been devoured by the children. that you have within your home. And you know, at nighttime when you go to bed and you're laying there in bed and it's supposed to be this peaceful, relaxing time, and you have a king-size bed for a king-size man to stretch out on until you have to do this because there's three other children and your pregnant wife in the bed with you. And one leg is hanging off the side of the bed like this, kind of gripping the ground so if I do fall, I can kind of do a tuck maneuver and just like do some push-ups when I fall out of the bed. So that's really, I mean, it's pretty exciting stuff. But I also get to experience the joys exponentially of having these kids and getting to see what God does in their lives and getting to see the joy that they bring every single day and the joy that they have, getting to invest in them. There's no price tag that you can put on something like that. And so it's pretty exciting stuff. And then I thought about, you know, we're honoring dads today, and my dad is actually helping Royal Family this morning. He's on his way to, or he might actually be leaving the New Orleans airport right now with Diego Fuller, who's coming. We have a Christian rapper who's coming to perform for our kids this year, so we're pretty excited about that. It's going to be fun tomorrow night. Diego's got a really cool story. He'll be in the 11 o'clock service, but he was actually a ward of the state, a kid in foster care, and he was adopted at probably 8 or 9 years old, and he started writing some music about it. So he's got songs about being engrafted into the family of God and being chosen, and so different songs like that. So he's going to be coming. We're pumped up about having him. So my dad is going to pick him up. I can only imagine what that conversation is like between my father and Diego on the way home. God bless Diego. on the way home. But I thought about like the influence that my father had on me and like how my dad impacted who I am today. And so I thought about, well, what are the things that I like to do? And why do I like to do those things? Because I posted on Facebook a few questions about like, what's the importance of dad to you? What's the difference between dad and mom? And how does dad make a different impact than mom may do in your family? And those kinds of things. Posted a couple questions like that. And a lot of people said that dad was kind of an influencer. I just watched him. He let me spend time with him. And because I got to spend time with him, he kind of influenced the way that I think, the way that I act, the things that I enjoy, the things that I love. And so I said, you know, it's pretty true with my relationship with my father. I like to build things. I like to do construction. I'm always kind of tinkering with things in the backyard. Tori likes to make fun because, you know, she'll come over and I'm building a deck, like just woke up that morning and decided, hey, I'm going to go build a, like, 15 by 20 deck in the backyard, run to Home Depot, grab the materials, and just start building stuff in the backyard just randomly. But I like to do that. I like to build, and that's because my dad was a contractor. He owns a construction company, and all my life, from the time I was 8 years old on, he would take me with him every single day, 5:30 a.m. He would wake me up, and we would get in the big blue Ford that took 7 hours to start, and you could hear the diesel glow light. I mean, over and over, finally the truck would start and we would go out on our daily adventure. And I got real good at sweeping and picking up things. It was nice. That's what my dad would have me do until I was old enough to not cut my fingers off with a power saw. So anyway, but I have a love for building things, constructing things, making things, and making things better. And I get that from my dad. Gardening, which I enjoy doing, you know, planting and things like that, not necessarily the kind of gardening with beets and carrots and whatnots, but gardening like azalea bushes and things like that and making the yard look beautiful and doing those kinds of things, landscaping, I guess you could say. And that's because my dad always really enjoyed that. That was his hobby. And he would constantly have me out there working with him. And when I was a kid, I was like, dude, this is stupid. I hate this. It's 197 degrees out here, Dad. Why do you have me out here? But it's funny because now I'm doing the same thing. And I've got my son Jacob, and he's like, Dad, it's 197 degrees out here. Why are you having me out here? But we enjoy doing those things. Or, well, I enjoy them, and someday he will enjoy them. It may be a few years, but someday, buddy, you will enjoy them. But I get that from my dad. And then anybody who's ever seen my dad knows that he's a man who enjoys to eat. And I, too, am a man who enjoys to eat. And that's something that I picked up from my dad. We were always going and fellowshipping with people. We were always going and talking to people, and it was always over a meal. So we would always go eat somewhere and do that kind of thing. And so I can say, man, that's awesome. I get a lot of things from him. He has a major impact on me. If we look at it from the point of view of the kind of man that I am today, my dad was always serving. Just like Holly said, it was really cool to watch that video. My dad, when he would go out and do service projects, wasn't going out and doing them by himself. He was bringing me with him. And at the time, kind of like you said, at the time as a kid, I'm like, God, dude, come on. Give me a break. We're doing this like all the time. But now looking back at it, I have that same attitude about serving people because my dad constantly took me with him. My mom constantly took me with her on things. She ran the Crisis Pregnancy Center for 20 years. She was the director of the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And she didn't want to pay for childcare is probably what it was, but she was saying she was bringing me along with her. Anyway, I had my own little office, which was actually just like a closet, but inside the Crisis Pregnancy Center growing up, and it would say Dr. Wonder Jim on it. And so she would put me in there. And, you know, obviously because of everything that was going on in the Crisis Pregnancy Center, because of privacy issues, things like that, she didn't want me in the forefront. But I could constantly hear my mom praying with people, encouraging people, telling people about Jesus and telling them that even though you may be in a very rough situation right now, God is faithful and God will come through. And because of that, I've learned that lesson in life. And I've been able to do that to replicate that in the way that I live my life. And so there is a very powerful influence that we as parents have. Obviously today is Dad's Day, and fathers out there, you guys are awesome. And happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. But I do not want to discredit moms. This is really a day to honor not just dads, but parents as a whole, and to remind us of the influence and the opportunity that we have on a daily basis to make an impact in the lives of our kids. So when I think about scriptures that my dad might focus on, or that I might focus on in raising my children, one that comes to mind would be Proverbs 22:6. Anybody know Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Okay? And that's one I'm like, yes, yes, I'm going to train up my children. I'm going to raise them the way they need to be raised. I'm going to do my best to set a good example. And just like Pastor Marvin, I've had to apologize hundreds of times for not doing it the way that I was supposed to be doing it. But I think that there's something valuable in that as well, when your kids see that, hey, dad knows that he's flawed, but he's willing to admit those things and understand that he's going to continue to work to be the man that God created him to be. I think that's a good lesson for our kids to learn, because they're never going to be perfect either. They're going to constantly mess up. It's important for them to know, hey, I got to ask for forgiveness, and then I got to make sure to try and do the best that I can to be what God created me to be. So it's a cool lesson to learn. But train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Man, that's a good verse that I like to hold on to. And except for this one thing, my dad, he had a different verse in Proverbs that he really, really kind of clung to. And when he was raising me, he said, man, this is the verse that I need to hold on tightly to when I raise my son, John. Let me read it to you. Okay, it's Proverbs 22:15, just a couple verses down. Okay, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Okay, and that was the scripture that I believe my father recited daily. He probably had it like printed on his mirror inside of his bathroom. And he's like, yes, the rod of correction, Lord. It was probably another one of the armor of God things. He had like the belt of discipline. I don't know. Instead of a belt of truth, is a, yeah. All right. But no, what children learn from us will impact who they become. It's a very real fact. Okay. But here's the thing. In order for them to be able to learn from us, again, going back to the kind of the Facebook questions and what do you really wish your dad would do that he's not doing, or what do you really wish that your dad had done? Those kinds of things was questions asked. Multiple people, the thing that they said on there, and these range from people that were in their 20s to people that were in their like 60s and all kinds of in-between ages, but multiple people said, I just wish they would have been there. So here's the deal. In order for us to influence our kids, We got to show up. We've got to be there. I can't influence my kids if I'm not there. And here's the deal. Man, when Pastor Marvin was talking this morning on that video, it was convicting to me because I'm trying to go out and change the world, be a world changer like my mama and daddy told me I was always going to be. I'm trying to go out and do that. But I have to be careful. We all have to be careful that in going out with the ambition to be the best that God created us to be, we don't forget to be influencers in our own home. And it's so easy to do because I'm like, man, I'm doing all these great things. I'm going out and I'm doing these camps. And man, I'm going out and I'm telling people about Jesus. And man, I'm going out and I'm helping this guy rebuild something that he needed. And I'm showing him the love of Jesus and all those kind of things. But if my kids aren't with me, and if I'm not spending time with my kids and showing them that they're just as valuable as all these other things that I'm doing, then I'm missing it. Amen. We're missing it if we don't do that. And it's important because the way that we influence our children, the first step is the easiest step. It may not seem easy, but it really is the easiest step. Be there. If you can be there, then you have accomplished the first goal. Now, the second thing is, once we have that influence, because we are there, then this becomes the difficult part, deciding what kind of influence we're going to have. So the behaviors that we have, the things that we say, the things that we do. I think that Holly hit it on the head in the video when she said, it wasn't just what Dad was saying to me or what Mom was saying to me, but it's what they actually did, the way that they lived their lives. The old saying, actions speak louder than words, right? Our kids are looking at what we do. I can tell my kids all day long, we need to do this, we need to act this way, you need to do this, you need to do that. But when we spend time at night, when the cell phone alarm goes off at 7:01 p.m. every single night and it says family God time, it reminds me, hey, we need to get together around this counter right here, and we need to spend time with God, and we need to pray. We need to make it a priority because I need my kids to be able to see that Daddy thinks this is important. Amen. And he thinks it's so important that he put it on his phone and he scheduled it into every single part of his day because he wants us to know that this is important to him. I think that's critical. We're influencers, but we need to be influencers with our actions, not just with our words. I can tell my kids, and I have done this before, like, Jacob, go read your Bible, bro. You need to go read your Bible. When's the last time you read your Bible, dude? You can go read your Bible? What are you learning? Okay, thank you, Jenna. I appreciate your love. This is good. That girl is awesome. But I could tell Jacob that all day long and say, hey, dude, you need to go do this, this, and this. But when we get around the kitchen island at 7:01 p.m., and we open up the Bible together, and we start to read the scripture together, and we do like scripture matching games and stuff like that so we can memorize scriptures together. It's a challenge for us as a family to do these things together, and we're enjoying that time, and we're praying together about the needs that we have and the needs of other people, and we're actually talking about those things, not just me saying to him, dude, don't forget to pray for your grandpa because he's not feeling good today. But as a family, we get together, and we say, man, you know what? God can do this, and we go and we find scriptures, and it says that God will heal, and that God is our provider, and God is our healer, those kinds of things, and we're finding those scriptures together, and we're talking about, man, this isn't just something that we're reading, but this is the real deal. God is really going to heal Papa. He's going to take care of him, so man, let's make sure we pray. There's power in our prayers together when we join together. Doing those things together makes a huge impact on our kids. Michelle Bro told me when we were coming home from ramp camp, and actually, I might have been on the way to ramp camp. I can't remember which one it was. But she said, what kids hear from you first is what will really develop what they think about something for the rest of their lives. Like what they hear first. So here's the deal. If a kid's going to school, they're a teenager, they're going to school, and if the first thing they hear about sexual relationships or something like that is from their friends, all right, then that's really going to be what they kind of take as, okay, this is probably the way things go. But if they're hearing about it from us first, then they start to develop that mindset. So here's the deal, is when we're talking about spiritual things, I don't want somebody else developing my child's understanding of who God is. I want to be the first person to start talking to them about that and explaining that to them. Because the reality of it is, in the world that we live in today, with all the make-believe stuff that's around on TV and all these other kinds of things, all right, there's Santa Claus and there's these characters on a movie and everything looks so real and there's all this stuff. And look, I'm not anti-Santa Claus or movies, so please don't stone me here, all right? But there's all those things out there. And if a child is constantly watching those things, spending hours watching those things, hearing about those things in our culture today, then in the back of their mind, it's almost like when we start talking about Jesus, a guy who walked on water, a guy who raised people from the dead, oh, well, that sounds like something that would be in a movie. So it's important that we make this understood to them, that we help them to realize that this isn't just some kind of fantasy story. This isn't some kind of thing that you know, you read about and it entertains you, but this is reality. This is real life. And the way that we do that is, again, being there. And as we pray together, we're praying for things to happen. I remember 3 years ago, maybe, was that when you started teaching, somewhere in that range? 3 years ago, my wife was trying to find a teaching job. She had just graduated from college. And so as a family, we all got together and we said, look, we're praying for Mama to get a job. She's going to a job fair today. We're going to pray that she gets a job. We all stood there at the pool holding hands together and we prayed for Julie to find a job. And I stayed at the pool and did all that kind of stuff. And about 3 hours later, she came back. She said, man, they offered me a job today while I was there. Here's what was important about that moment. I was excited because I didn't have to be the only person making money in the house. All right. But more importantly than that, I took that opportunity and I said, kids, look what just happened. Because you prayed this morning, God answered that prayer and he gave Mama a job today. We need to take opportunities that when God moves, that we don't just overlook it or don't just take it as, all right, God did that. Good job. All right, awesome. I'm glad he did that. But we need to make a big deal out of those things with our kids. We need to point out to our kids, look what God is doing. They need to be able to see with their eyes, and it develops a concrete understanding that God is a real God. He's not some character on a TV show or in the movies or somebody that we just fairy tale talk about, but this is a real God who does real things, and he wants to really be a part of our lives. We need to do that with our kids. So going on, we like to make declarations in this church, and I love that. We make declarations of our offering and different things like that. I found this scripture as I was reading, and I'm like, dude, what better declaration to make over our homes, moms and dads, all right, than this right here, Psalms 22:30. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the world. We're making this declaration that our children will know Jesus Christ. How are our children going to know Jesus Christ? Because of us. Right, Jenna? Good. It's good. Our kids are going to know Jesus because we are telling them about what he is doing. Okay? One of our scriptures that we worked on, was it Romans 1:5? You guys remember, my kids? Was it Romans 1:5 that we did this week? Okay? Because of Jesus, we are given the authority and the opportunity to tell others everywhere about what God has done so they can bring glory to his name. And every day we talk about what's our sole purpose for being here on this planet. Why are we here? We talk about that every single day. Jacob, why are we here? To bring glory to God. That's right. Okay? That is why we're here. And so that's what that scripture was talking about, was that God has given us the authority and the privilege to tell people everywhere about what he has done so that it can bring glory to his name. We need to do that with our kids. As parents, we need to make sure that that is our focus, that we are telling them constantly about the good things that God is doing so that God can be glorified not only in our lives, not only in their lives, but because of what is igniting inside of them. When they start to see what God is doing, then they start to go out and they start to change generations. Here's the deal. I was reading in Model Man, and I have some stuff that I want to share that a little bit later. That's why I put it up there. But he was talking about our world today. And he was talking about how it's pretty grim. We could look at the world today and we could be like, dude, it's getting rough. Man, everything looks like it's constantly going downhill. Well, here's the deal. if we don't want it to go downhill anymore, who's the ones that's going to make it turn around? We're all sitting right here in this room. If we want something to be different than what the world is creating it to be, then the people that can make the impact and make that change are sitting right here in this room, because the people out there, that they're not interested in changing it. It's the world they created. But if we understand, all right, that this world needs to be different, then we need to start doing that. How do we do that? How is the world going to change and be better in the future? Who is the future? There you go. Children are the future. Not just my children, not just your children. Children are the future. Okay? I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them know the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Yeah, sorry. You writing that down for notes? That's good. Yeah, he sang. He sang in church. Don't let him come back again. that's good. No, but here's the thing, man. We went to ramp camp, and being in a public school as a school teacher and doing the things that we do with Royal Family Kids Camp, my heart is so heavy as a dad, because I look around at the little boys and the little girls that do not have fathers in their lives. They're here in our church. They're in our schools. All over the place. It doesn't make them any less valuable. It doesn't change who they are. But it definitely changes the dynamic of who they will become if somebody doesn't step up and take that role. So if anything, if I'm focusing on men at all today, men, we have got to step up and be fathers to the fatherless. We have to. And I don't care if you are a dad yet or not, if you're a young man that's 18, 19, 20 years old, or whether you're an older gentleman, it doesn't really matter. You can be a father to children who are fatherless. And it's critical that we do this, because these young men are developing a sense of who they are, the value they have, who they should be, how they should treat other people, all those kinds of things. They're developing those by what is coming in, what people are saying about them, what they see going on, all those kinds of things. If we start to, just like we said earlier, the way that we're going to be able to have an influence in the lives of those kids is by showing up in the lives of those kids. Man, look, I'm a busy guy doing a lot of things. And to be completely honest, I didn't want to go to ramp camp. I was like, dude, I got way too much stuff going on. But I'm like, I need to go. I need to do that. I felt like God was saying I needed to go do that. I need to serve in that area. And man, I'm completely and totally happy that I did. Because it gave me a brand new mindset of what we all need to be doing, not just me, especially me, but not just me, in this church to serve the young people that we have, our future generation that is our now generation, all right? We need to be investing in them. We need to show up. It shouldn't be the case. It is in every church. It's not like our church is any different. But it should not be the case that the children's ministry has to struggle to find people to volunteer to come and to help on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. It shouldn't be the case. If we are truly passionate about making sure that future generations know the love of Jesus Christ and know the value that they have, then we should be volunteering and showing up. We should be going finding Sister Angela and saying, hey, what can I do to serve? And it's not easy. Dude, I get that. I get that you don't necessarily want to do that, or that you have 5,000 other awesome, valid things going on. I get it. But at some point, we have to say, man, the future generation is far more important than my comfort level right now. Does that make sense to everybody? So we have to do that. Guys, I'm not trying to call anybody out. Listen, if anything, I'm calling myself out to do more. But we need to do that. We need to step up and be fathers to the fatherless. Because here's the reality. Let me read in here, page 167 of this book. Mr. Stockstill points out a few statistics about kids who grow up without fathers. 75% of all kids in chemical abuse centers, drug centers, come from fatherless homes. 75% of kids that abuse drugs come from fatherless homes. 71% of dropouts from high school come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 85% of children who have behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless runaway children come from fatherless homes. 70% of youth in state-operated institutions, kind of like the Florida Parish Juvenile Center, 70% come from fatherless homes. 85% of our youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers come from fatherless homes. And we could go on and on and on and talk about more statistics just like that. But there's one thing that keeps repeating itself. A home without a father who is willing to show up and invest in his children is a home that is far more likely statistically to be defeated by the devil. That's the reality of it. We could talk about all the different things that it could, but the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's going to do that in any way he can. If he can get a kid addicted to drugs, if he can get a young lady pregnant and feels like her life is completely over and she has no escape, if he can get a kid involved in illegal activities and then end up in prison where he feels like I've made too many mistakes and now nobody wants me, or if he can get a kid ending up in foster care where he goes bounced from house to house to house and so he feels like he's not valuable. All the devil's trying to do is jack people's sense of value. If he can take your sense of value away from you, then he's got you where he wants you. So what we need to do as people who believe in Jesus Christ and understand the value that Jesus places on us is we need to show up in the lives of these kids and of other hurting people, and we need to tell them what the truth is. Because the devil's going to keep telling them lies. Our job is to keep showing up and telling them the truth. And sooner or later, the truth will outdo the lies. It will. Here's the other big thing that we need to do, and I'll pretty much be finished when I do this. The other thing we need to do, yes, we need to show up. Yes, we need to be telling these folks this thing, but the other element to this is prayer. We need to constantly be in prayer for these people. Okay? We need to constantly, not just these people, we need to constantly be in prayer for each other. Okay? Because while the reality is that these individuals are facing an uphill battle because they don't know the value that God placed in them, listen, we're facing a battle too. There's a spiritual battle out there with us every single day, whether we know Christ or we don't know Christ. But even when we know Christ and we know the promises he has for us and know the value that he's placed on us, that doesn't mean the battle has stopped. There's a constant battle. The devil's not giving up until the day we stop breathing. So what we need to do is make sure that we are constantly praying and covering people in the blood of Jesus and saying, God, please be with those people. Give them the strength. God, please be with these that are hurting, these that are needing, these that are fatherless, these that don't understand their value. Please, Lord God, send me, send others that will show them that love so that their eyes will be open to see the value that they have. So we need to show up. We need to speak truth. And we need to pray. Three things. Pretty simple, right? Show up, speak truth, pray. We do those three things, then the generations that come will be changed. The world that seems like it's tanking and going downhill will be changed. Change can happen. It's not over. We ain't dead yet. Okay? We used to say this all the time. I played basketball in high school and in college, and we had this one guy. His name was Anson Sobers. Okay? And Anson always had these, like, great lines when he would get people all excited and stuff like that in the locker room before games. He was this guy that really pumped everybody up, okay? And so before games, Anson would always say something, and everybody like, yeah, let's go, we can take them, we got this. We're all pumped up, we're running out of the locker room like a bunch of crazy people, like, excited and ready to play the game. I remember one particular game in a championship season that we had, and we were down, I don't know, it was probably like 10 or 12 points at halftime. Okay, and so it wasn't looking good for us, but, you know, everybody was kind of dejected at that point. We felt like, man, this isn't going to go good. We're going to lose. Everything that we've worked hard for all season long is now wasted. This really stinks. Anson stood up in the middle of the locker room, I remember one day, and he stood up on the bench. So it's kind of funny. He stood up on the bench, and he screamed out, "We ain't dead yet! We ain't dead yet! We ain't dead yet!" And we were all like, yeah, you're right. We ain't dead yet. But here's what he meant by that. Was that until you stop breathing, change can't happen. All right? Until they start throwing dirt on your face, change can happen. All right? So let's not get dejected, overwhelmed, and feel like our world is completely and beyond any repair, because we serve a Jesus who brings the dead back to life. So if our world is dead, we can bring it back to life. Not we in ourselves, but we with the power of Jesus can bring this world back to where Jesus intended it to be. But here's what we have to do. We have to show up. We have to tell people about the truth of Jesus, and we've got to pray. And if we do those three things, then guess what? Jesus will show up, he will make things change, and this world will be what we thought it should be and know it should be, and people will know the love and value of Jesus Christ in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. All right, at this time, I want all of my blue shirts to come up front here. We're going to send you guys out. This is a commissioning, and we're going to send these folks out on a missions trip to serve kids in our local area who are in foster care. So head on up this way. Now there's like six people sitting in this. Just kidding. Awesome. Good deal, dude. Yeah, I left the mic on. My bad. There you go. Man, y'all look good. I like y'all. Y'all look good. Some cute shirts, too. So, here's what I need you guys to do. All right? These guys have shown up. They showed up. They're ready to go serve. They're ready to go and invest in the lives of kids who are coming from sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, abandonment, neglect. But they've shown up, and they're going to tell these kids the truth. Okay? Not just with their words during this week, but with the actions that they have. Okay? They're going to show these kids the truth of Jesus. So they showed up. They're telling the kids about the truth. What's that other thing we need to do? Yep. So here's the deal. I don't want some soft, light, generic, "Oh God, these people are so beautiful in their blue shirts. Be with them this week. Amen." Okay? Because the devil is not like, "Oh, look at that. They just prayed that. Okay, let me back off." No. He's not giving up. He's not quitting. He's going to keep fighting these guys all week long. He's going to try and make them sick. He's going to try and get people hurt. He's going to bring out horse flies like we've never seen before. Can I get an amen from my crew? All right? Look, these folks wear pantyhose on their head sometimes during the week to get rid of them horse flies. This is ridiculous. All right? It's pretty funny, but it's ridiculous at the same time. Here's my point, is that this week I need you guys to be covering us in prayer. I need you to plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of these campers, counselors, staff members, over that campground that no one gets hurt. Look, we need your prayers. This is an army of compassion that's going forward, but you are the army that is right behind us to support us the entire time. Just because you couldn't get the week off, and I understand completely, just because you couldn't get the week off, that's cool. That didn't mean your job is over or your assignment is done. That just means that you have a different assignment, a different job, and that assignment is to be praying for us.
Yeah.
And saying, "Lord, as they go forward." You ready to preach? No? Okay. "Lord, as they go forward, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, give them the victory." And as there is a spiritual war going on against these individuals throughout this week, let there be victory that no wall shall stand against them and bringing your glory to the lives of these kids. That's the kind of prayers that we need prayed this week, and that you are believing that Jesus is going to radically change the lives of 56, 57, 58, however many kids show up, kids that come to Royal Family Kids Camp this week. Because the reality for them is that my mom and dad didn't want me. My mom, she had all kinds of dudes living in our house that were doing all kinds of things to me. So clearly she didn't think I was very valuable. Then they sent me, and this lady came in the middle of the night and put all my stuff in a garbage bag, or at least some of my stuff, and she brought me to this house. And I didn't really know what to do in that house. So those people said that I couldn't stay here because I didn't fit in with the way that they did things. So guess what? I'm going to a different house and I don't fit in with that house. So over and over and over and over again, these kids have been told, you don't do things the right way. You're not the right kind of kid. You are not valuable enough for me to invest in you and to stick with you. That's what these kids have been told. But that's not the reality that Jesus wants these kids to know. And so that's what we're bringing to them this week. For the glory of God, not for the glory of any one of us, not for the glory of John or anybody else, not for the name of RFK, but for the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. So if you will, stand with me here, reach your hand out if you feel comfortable doing that. If not, that's okay. But join with me in prayer as we pray over every single one of these awesome individuals that's going this week. That God would cover them, that the Holy Spirit would speak through them. Because we could all say things that we think are good things to say. But if the Holy Spirit speaks through us, then the impact of our words has value beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Lord God, we come to you today and we thank you for the opportunity that you are giving us, calling us, sending us, Lord God, to the broken and the hurting. We do not take this lightly. We do not take it for granted, Lord God. Lord, while we are looking forward to an awesome week, going out and fishing and canoeing and doing all kinds of awesome things, Lord God, having a great time with these kids, doing tea parties and birthday parties and all kinds of fun stuff. Lord, that's going to be awesome. But what we understand, Lord God, is this is a commissioning for us to go out and not just to go out and have a good time, but to bring the hope of Jesus to kids through our actions, through our prayers for our campers, through our words. Lord, may every single eye, not just my campers that are coming this week, but even my counselors that are there this week, that their eyes would be open, Lord God, to the value that you have for them. Because the truth of it is, some of my counselors that are going this week, they're going thinking that they're doing this great thing, but thinking that they're not completely and totally equipped or ready to do it. I pray that their eyes would be open, Lord, that you have given them every tool that they need to be impactors, hope dealers, world changers. And I pray that you would cover every single one of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray for victory and we pray for a complete and total healthy, safe week at camp that you would cover over every single one of them, Lord God. And it's all, everything, Lord God, is all for your glory because it's the only reason we live. It's the only reason we breathe is to bring you glory. So let it be done in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for supporting what we do here at Royal Family. These guys are about to head out, and they're about to go decorate a campground and get ready for an awesome week of camp. Please keep them covered in prayer all week long. And thank you so much for being here. Fathers, have an awesome Father's Day. Here's one of seven awesome presents God gave me as a father. And so I'm so very excited. You are beautiful. All right. Guys, have a great week. Thank you so much. God bless.